Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Tori.
Hey, I am Puma. We are so glad that you joined us today.
Yes, welcome back. And guys, on this podcast, you've heard it before, and we'll say it again. Puma, what do we do? What do we talk about?
Oh, we talk about Jesus, life, and everything in between.
Everything in between.
Which pretty much encompasses everything.
Yes. Yeah. And we're currently in our identity series, Who We Are in Christ, right? As a believer, as someone who has put their faith in Jesus, what does that mean for who we are? I mean, does our identity shift? Does it change? Should it shift? And spoiler alert, absolutely yes. And today we're talking kind of a follow-up from our last week. We talked about us being adopted in Christ last week. And today I want to start with a little story, which actually goes hand in hand with adoption. So a couple weeks ago, I was at a musical, and it was the musical Annie. Maybe you've seen the musical, but right, Annie, it's set in 19...
Daddy Warbucks.
Yeah, yeah. Annie is an orphan, hence, you know, Annie the Orphan. And it's set in 1930, the Great Depression. And so if you've seen the musical, it's great. I really enjoy it. It's cute. And yeah, basically...
Are you going to sing some of the songs for us?
No. No? Absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got some good music to it.
It does, yeah. Emily, my wife, actually was Annie back in the day. She starred in this musical.
Oh, that's cute. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Anyway, all that to say, spoiler alert, if you haven't heard the musical, well, it's great, but if you haven't heard, tune out the next like 30 seconds. But to recap, basically, orphan Annie is in a really bad orphanage with an evil Miss Hannigan's, and this billionaire in New York decides, hey, for Christmas, I'm going to have some little orphan kid, you know, join me for Christmas in my mansion. And long story short, this billionaire, who's kind of cold at first, isn't really like Annie, his heart gets softened towards her, and eventually he adopts her, and there's some mischief in between. You know, people try to find her real parents, and
there's shenanigans with Miss Hannigan.
Yeah, and, yeah. Yep. Annie wants her real parents, and so anyway, I won't spoil it, but basically she gets adopted. Yay! And also Miss Hannigan's hates Annie. That was like the one orphan, Miss Hannigan's, the orphanage lady. She just despised Annie. So the contrast for Annie, who, you know, is in a terrible orphanage with a really terrible Miss Hannigan's, gets adopted by a billionaire and lives in a mansion, and her life changes. Now, we share all that to say, last time we talked, it was about adoption, but today, when we're talking about kind of the next step, a same idea, a different perspective, if you will, of a story.
Yeah, so Annie is an orphan, and she gets adopted into a new family, and now she is part of Daddy Warbucks's family.
Yeah.
And so what does that make her now that she's in this new family?
She gets the last name Warbucks.
Warbucks. She now is a child of Daddy Warbucks.
Yeah.
Where before she was adopted, she was not a child. She was just an orphan.
Mm-hmm.
And Daddy Warbucks could have her over and give her stuff, but she still is an orphan. She
right.
doesn't belong. She doesn't, she's not connected. She doesn't share in the family name, the family heritage, and,
right.
and the inheritance and all of that.
Yeah. And even if she gets those gifts, she still has to go back to the orphanage.
go back to this bad situation. And she knows that she doesn't belong. And mm-hmm. she knows that that's not her identity. But something amazing, though, when she got adopted, her whole life changed.
Yeah.
I mean, she went from one family into another. And we had talked about this in previous podcasts, like being rescued from the dominion of darkness and placed in the kingdom of the Son.
Yeah.
You know, Annie was in a very dark place in an orphanage and with abuse and all kinds of stuff going on, and she was rescued from that and placed into a loving environment, which was not just a loving environment, but actually a loving family where she now is a part of a new family.
Yeah.
And so today, really talking about what does it mean to be a child, specifically a child of God? Because the Bible talks about this, that one of the things that are true of us because of our faith in Jesus is that we become a child of God.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where we're going today. So should we get into the details?
Details? Yeah, let's dive in into what it means to be a child of God. All right, Puma. So this phrase, you know, in Christ, we are now his child, it's used all over Scripture. It's used quite a bit.
Yeah, it's really a picture. So I love how the Bible takes things that we experience and things we're familiar to, and mm-hmm. and how the writers in the Bible take those, and God uses those to teach us spiritual truths, to teach us things. And so this concept of being a child of God, I mean, everybody listening has been someone's child. I mean, right? If you are hearing me right now, you are someone's child. I'm not saying that that was a good or a bad situation. I'm just saying that's just the reality mm-hmm. that you are. And there are things that come with that. And, you know, some people have lost parents or are orphans or don't have a family. And so like what we talked about last week, talking about adoption was the process of being placed into one family, into a new family, a new family identity. And so today it's about being a child of God. I would like to read just a few verses there. Yeah, some of the Bible talks about. So in John chapter 1, you know, talking about Jesus, the Word, who came into the world, and it said in chapter 1, verse 12, "Yet to all who received him, who received Jesus, to those who believed in his name," and this is the amazing thing, "he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of a husband's decision or a husband's will, but children who are born of God." That when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, you go from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of the Son. You have been reconciled. You're no longer condemned. You are now a forgiven person, some of these things that we've talked about, and you become a child of God.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting thought. If I become a child of God when I trust Jesus as Savior, then what was I before I trusted Jesus as Savior?
Mm, yeah.
Was I a child of God?
No.
No.
You know, you were a child of Satan, or a child of the ruler of the kingdom of this world.
Right. Yeah, John talks about this in 1 John chapter 3. But one of the misconceptions I hear all the time in our world is that we're all God's children, right? Everyone's God's children. Everybody all over the planet, we're all God's children. And I understand what people try to mean when they say that. In other words, you know, people are important. God loves people, and I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, the Bible just screams that God loves people.
Yeah.
But just because I love people, right? I mean, I do. Yeah. I love people. Yeah, I love kids. I've been working with kids.
You're a nice guy, Puma.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, Tori. I've been working with kids and teens my whole life. I love them. I mean, I care about them. What's interesting, though, is all the kids I work with over the years, though I love them, very few have actually been my children. Hmm. I only have 8 children.
Yeah.
I have 8 children who are my children, who I love. All the other children that I work with are not my children, but I still love them.
Right.
You see, when people use a statement, you know, all people are God's children, I think sometimes that confuses things for us, because though all people have worth, value, and dignity because they're created in the image of God, the Bible is very clear about this in Genesis chapter 1, that mankind, all men, women, children, we're all created in God's image with worth, value, and dignity. God loves mankind. He loves every person. That does not mean that every person is a child of God. Mm. A child of God involves relationship, and this is what we're talking about. Now, God loves all people, but not all people are in his family or related to him. Yes.
Okay, Puma. So I hear you're saying that, you know, God, he loves all people, but there are some who are his kids, right? And they're special. They're set aside. They're different from all the other people, right? We're all made in God's image, but not everyone is a child of God. However, you know, devil's advocate here. There, I know the Bible says a couple times that, and I think Romans 2 says, God does not show favoritism. Right? So it kind of sounds like, well, if God loves everybody, but there are some people, the children of God, who are more important to God, isn't that favoritism?
Well, see, again, we use words and we just kind of apply all kinds of meanings. I mean, what is favoritism?
Picking something over someone else with judgment? Probably. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you know, people use the word all the time, but that's not fair, you know, favorites. You know, is it wrong to favor or care for one person over another?
I mean, no. I mean, I would say no. I mean, I think some people, okay, so I'm married, right? So my bride, Emily, she comes before everyone else, right? So I think it's appropriate.
So you're showing favoritism to Emily over all other women?
I mean, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, you shouldn't throw favoritism.
Yeah, well, see, isn't that like the question, right? So like, so how do you reconcile these two?
Because I believe... So you're my son.
I am.
You are. You're my son. So should I not show a more concern and love for you versus the neighbor kids?
No, I think it's appropriate to love your children that God gave you, you know? And I think that that's more important than the stranger or the kid across the street.
Yeah. I mean, so God doesn't show favoritism in that he doesn't judge unfairly like you and I do. You see, some of the situations where some of these things are recorded in the Bible, you know, you have a group of church people and somebody who comes in looking really wealthy. Well, we say, oh, this person's really wealthy. We're going to give them the best seat around the table. Mm. The next person comes in and they're in rags. Well, you know, we let them sit at the worst place at the table. See, that's showing favoritism. That's making a judgment of value based upon what they look externally.
Appearances.
That has nothing to do with who they are. In other words, God doesn't show favoritism because one person's wealthy and one person's poor.
Yeah.
Going back to like 1 Samuel 16, when Samuel's going to come to anoint David, God said, man looks at the outward appearance and makes judgments based upon the outward appearance. God looks at the heart and makes true judgments based upon what's in the heart. Yeah. So God doesn't show favoritism based upon what someone has or what someone does. God has priorities and does what is always right and fair according to the character and the heart of every person.
That's good. Yeah.
So you and you are my son. You are related to me. It is right for me to prioritize you and your needs over the needs of the neighbor kids. Does that mean I don't love the neighbor kids?
No.
I care about the kids in the neighborhood. But if I have limited resources, I'm going to prioritize you over other kids. And it would be wrong for me to care about everyone else's kids and neglect my own.
That's true.
It would be wrong for me to prioritize everyone else's marriage and neglect my own.
Which really shows value to your kid. I mean,
it does.
As you, my father, you are not unloving the neighbor kid. You are choosing to prioritize and love your child.
When I am loving my own children appropriately, what am I communicating to all the other kids in the neighborhood?
That you love and cherish your kid.
I'm communicating the truth of what families are supposed to be about and how parents are supposed to love their kids.
Yeah.
And isn't this the way it is in our world? That when people are in horrible situations, horrible families, I mean, I grew up in a neighborhood and back in the day when all the kids are running around the neighborhood all summer long. And there was always a couple houses in the neighborhood that all the kids wanted to come to and hang out in, and there were several houses where the kids didn't want to come. There's one kid who we rang around with. We liked his toys, but nobody wanted to go into his house because the house was full of anger and tension and neglect. And so nobody wanted to be a part of that family or even go into that house. Yeah. But there was another kid whose mom always had lemonade and always had stuff. And you know, we would make these comparisons of homes, and there are some homes you wanted to be in and some homes you didn't want to be in. Yeah. And this is part of what it means to be part of God's family or a child of God. It is a family that people ought to want to be a part of.
Yeah.
And so when I'm communicating that I love my own children to the neighborhood kids, I'm communicating to the neighborhood kids what families are supposed to be like and really communicating truth to them by just how I'm living out the things that are true.
Yeah. Well, I love that, even just as you kind of explained that, Puma, I mean, even not that the movie or the musical Annie is really the best analogy, but what does that say about our Father God, who takes us, who were orphans, we were actually belong to an evil, sinful world, and he chose to adopt not clean, not pretty, not righteous people. He chose to adopt and claim as his children, sinners who put their faith in him. I mean, what immense value does that say that God has for his kids? This isn't, oh, we're so worth, you know, being his child. It's no, he just loves us so much. He thinks we're worth being his child.
Yeah, and what's amazing too is, you know, in this, the analogies break down, but when John says in John 1:12 that we have the right to become children of God because of our faith in Jesus. Mm. In Galatians, you know, Paul wrote in Galatians 3:26, he says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ."
Yeah.
In other words, that's true for me because of my faith in Jesus, but that could also be true of everybody else.
Mm. Yeah,
you
yeah.
see, anybody can look at Jesus and say, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus is the Christ who lived and died and rose again, taking the penalty for my sin." Mm. And because I am sinful by nature and by choice, but I know that God loves me and Jesus loves me and that he gave his life for me. And so I'm going to put my faith and trust in Jesus as Savior. See, that is open to everybody.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we go from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of the Son. We go from being unforgiven to being forgiven. We go from being condemned because of our sin to being not condemned. We go from being rescued from the dominion of darkness, placed in the kingdom of the Son. We go from being an orphan, a spiritual orphan, to being adopted by God. And that makes us God's child. We are a child of God. And I love how John says in John chapter 3, he says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, and that is who we are in Christ."
Yeah, 1 John 3 is such a good, I love the word lavished. I don't use that word very much.
It's a lavish, just,
it's but
a
great word. Yeah, it's like a generous, overdose, heaping, overflow of love. It is so full, it's seeping out, that the God of the universe, the almighty creator, lavishes love on his kids. Again, kind of referring back to the adoption, we don't bring anything to the table. It is purely the love of God that he extends to adopt sinful people. And that is an extreme love, but that also comes with a responsibility. Because, I mean, I'm your kid. I'm the third of eight now, a couple more since some of us are married. So you actually have more kids in the family, right? But even being in this family, right, there's a responsibility. I have a responsibility. Because I could go around, and I mean, not that Tori is some renowned person, but I could go do some terrible things in this town. I could tarnish your name. I could live like a heathen. I could, you know, rob a bank. I could, you know, I don't know, God forbid, hit an old lady with a truck, whatever. I mean, I could do awful things, and now Tori Slippy, all of a sudden.
And if you do those things, remember your last name is Smith.
Right. But to think that, you know, I can do some horrible things, it doesn't make me any less your kid, but it does tarnish the name. It all of a sudden, you know, I think the Slippy name is fairly respected, but I could do things that would actually hurt the name Slippy, you know. And there are certain names, right, that kind of have connotations, right? There are certain names you don't want, you know, there are certain names you probably do want. But with this concept of us being a child of God, I mean, what does that mean? I mean, we have responsibility, we have an inheritance, right? But that's not something we earn. That's something God gives us. So, I mean, Puma.
So it's all about relationship, right? I mean, the whole picture of a child, as, you know, if you say someone is a child, you're picturing a relationship versus a boy or a girl, right? A boy or girl is different than saying someone is a child. When you say someone is a child, there's a picture there of being connected to someone or something, right?
Yeah.
And so words, this picture is used, it's talking about relationship, and relationships always have privileges and responsibilities to them. Relationships are always growing in a direction. When we have put our faith and trust in Jesus, it is about relationship. This is what life is about, Jesus' life and everything in between.
Yeah,
you know, right? All the relationships. And so if I really believe in Jesus and love him and believe everything that God the Father has said is true of me, I now enter into this new relationship. And it's not one that I entered blindly. It's one that I entered willingly. And with that relationship comes all kinds of privileges. We like the privileges, right? I love the fact that I have God as my heavenly Father in the Old Testament, Psalm 46. God is my refuge and my strength, my ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, I do not fear. There's a security that comes when I have a strong Father who is there to protect me and to watch over me. God is my provider. He's the one that's going to provide for me. You got Psalm 23, where the Lord is my shepherd, and he takes care of me, and he watches over, he leads me to green pastures. And we like that, being a part of a loving family where I'm protected and I'm provided for, I'm cared for. I'm also corrected when I'm off base. Lovingly disciplined. I mean, we live in a world today where so many people, I mean, how many of you have ever had the thought, man, that kid just needs a good spanking?
Oh, right? Daily when I go to daily, Walmart.
Right? Or that adult needs a good spanking, right? Right? They just need a little bit of discipline in their life to curb the attitude or to curb the, whatever's going on. To be in a loving family with a loving father that loves you enough to not let you grow up to be a jerk or just kind of a nuisance to yourself or to other people, but wants to love me, that's the kind of father we have who is doing things for our benefit. See, these are part of the privileges of being in a loving family with a loving father. It also comes responsibilities. Mm-hmm. So we do bear his name. We represent him. Yeah. We live in a way that basically brings honor or shame, you know, to him. And so, yeah.
When I was talking to someone a couple weeks ago about this idea of eternity, right? And this person is a professed atheist, and you know, which is, you know, we're still friends, and we're talking about this idea of the afterlife. And he goes, you know, I really think that there is a home where God is creating a mansion out of gold for me. You know, I don't think if God exists, this is a big if. If God exists, then, you know, I bet you I'm a pretty good, decent person. And so, you know, he's like, if he exists, I'm his child. If he doesn't exist, then I just die. But I thought, how interesting is it to like, oh, maybe I'll live in God. Maybe God is preparing a place for me. Like, what a weird concept to live life with not really knowing if there's an eternity for you. And again, we didn't talk about hell, but there are two eternities forever. And when you were God's child, one is with him and one is without.
Right. So not that I am super wealthy materialistically, but I do want to provide for and give a future to my kids, to my kids and my grandkids, my family. I want to do that.
Yeah.
And so it's not like this person who, you know, you talk with. They're just thinking just kind of very materialistically. They're not talking about relationship, right? I mean, what's the best part of being in a family is the relationships and the times that we have and the time that we spend together.
Yeah.
The point of Jesus preparing a place is not just for some place for us to be, but it's to be with him.
Yes.
It's relationship with him.
Yes.
To live with God forever. What Revelation 21 says, now the dwelling of God is with men. He will be their God, and we will be his people, and we will enjoy this relationship, this all the things that everybody longs for in a relationship, all the good things, all the blessings that come with relationship. I mean, this is why, you know, people fall in love with each other. This is why we enjoy family get-togethers and want to have memorable times. You know, even like with good friends, we want to get together, just have good time with each other. We long for that. Can you imagine with a family, with a father who's perfect, who wants all the best parts for us and wants to get rid of all the worst parts for us, and to live with him in that kind of blessing forever? See, that's about the relationship. We are a child of God.
Yeah.
And that relationship starts here in this life through faith in Jesus and lasts for
forever.
Forever.
Yeah. Well, and even so, I guess with closing, you know, I know we talk a lot about being a child of God, but a little bit about, you know, maybe we're not. You know, maybe are we God's kid? I mean, because, I mean, going back to 1 John 3, I'm going to read 1 John 3, verse 7. He goes, dear children, again, I love it. We're God's kids. Do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And this is such a, it really challenges me. He goes, verse 9, no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. I think a lot of us think we are God's child. I mean, you could probably ask anybody, you know, some random stranger, like, oh yeah, I'm a good person, I'm a child of God. But are we really? You know, I mean, I don't want to cheapen this amazing truth of who we are in Christ. If we are in Christ, we are God's child. Like you said, all these blessings, responsibilities, God is for us, not against us anymore when we were his kid. But are you really his kid?
If you are listening right now, and all the people that you know, all the people that you care about, God loves and cares about all those people.
Yeah.
I mean, end of sentence. But there is something, if you want to say extra, in the heart of God for his children. It's a care that probably goes beyond. If you could say, how do you love people perfectly? Well, if God could love people more perfectly than perfect, it is the love that he has for his kids. Yeah. It's this much more love for God. Kind of like, I love you and I love all the kids that I work with over the years, but you take priority for me because you're my kid, which does not diminish my love for all those that I've cared about over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, my heart breaks for people, but there's something, and I can't explain it, and for all, you know, parents, you can't explain it, that there's something, a love that you have for your kid that just is different. You know, ratchet that up to the heart of God. You know, all people, he loves all people, but not all people are children of God. You only become a child of God when you are rescued from the dominion of darkness, placed in the kingdom of the Son. You are only a child of God when you have been adopted into God's family. You're only a child of God when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. That is what the Bible says. You now have become a child of God. It is your right and privilege. This is your new identity, your new family, because it's a new relationship with the God who created you and loves you. He's longing for all people to be a part of his family. He loves all people, all humanity so much that he wants all to be a part of his family, but that only happens through faith in Jesus.
Yeah. So what's a good AQ as we close out this episode, as we close out this idea of being a child of God?
Well, one question we really can ask at the beginning of, you know, thinking about what's a good application question is, ask yourself, am I a true child of God, or do I just think I am because I'm human? Because I'm living on the planet.
Right.
Because all people think that God loves them, or at least this is kind of the perception. Yeah, God loves me.
Yeah, and I'm God's favorite.
Obviously, I'm a child of God because I exist. But are you really? Have you really looked at your heart and your life? See, we've talked about sin many times on these podcasts, and you even mentioned that in from 1 John chapter 3. That we don't keep on sinning. Sin is bad, right? We'd all say sin is bad, but what is like the heart of sin? What makes sin so bad other than, you know...
other than the consequences of,
yeah,
of life.
Yeah, sin destroys relationships.
Yes.
That's why sin is so bad and evil, because it destroys relationships. God created us for a relationship with him and with each other, and sin destroys relationships with God and with people. And the sin that destroys a relationship with God cannot be fixed unless that sin is paid for or atoned for, and that is through faith in Jesus. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin, and when he did that, in our faith and trust in Jesus, we now are restored relationally to God, and we, in this picture that the Bible paints, we become God's child. He is our father, and that is a permanent relationship through faith in Jesus that happens.
Yeah.
The first question is, are you really a child of God? The second question maybe with that is, if you are a child of God, do you recognize the, not just the privileges, but also the responsibilities that come along with that? Because if it's about relationship, why would you want to damage or destroy a relationship with your father?
Yeah. Right. And I love that. It doesn't mean that we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we never sin again. But when we're his kids, we don't want to, right? We make mistakes, where we are human. But when we are his child, we desire to honor and love our Heavenly Father. And he forgives us when we make mistakes, but it's the progression, right? And I don't think you can love hurting someone and say that you love them, right? I could not every day, smack and mistreat my wife and then tell her every day, oh, I love you, and we do it with God sometimes.
Right. So those are the responsibilities of that. And then it comes with the privileges. And this is where I think some people who our God's children don't realize the privileges that they have. Do you know that this relationship is secure?
Yeah.
We live out our identity, who we believe ourselves to be. Do you really understand that God is always for you as a father and not against you?
Yeah.
That he is doing what is good for you and not out to harm you. Mm. He's doing things to help you, and he wants to lead you and guide you. But sometimes we live in fear of God as our Heavenly Father.
Right. We have a human perverted idea of what a father figure is.
Right.
Yeah. And God is not like our earthly fathers.
And that's understandable in light of so much destruction, so much sin in our world. I mean, there's a lot of examples of what bad fathers are today, unfortunately. Yeah. But just because that is true doesn't mean that's God's design or intent.
Mm-hmm. No, let's go. Yeah. So these questions, yeah. Are you a child of God? And do you really have a relationship with God? And if you are, and if you do, then you are God's child. And the question that follows that is, what are your responsibilities? I mean, and I love how you mentioned this earlier, Puma, but like when you're his kid, I mean, how should that change you today? I mean, do you live, again, your identity? Do you live like you are a child of God? And if so, how should that change how you live out today in your decisions and in your thinking process and how you love other people?
Right. That doesn't mean you live arrogantly.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Yeah. It means you live humbly, knowing all that God has done to make you his child.
Yeah. No, that's good. Thank you, Puma. And thank you guys. As always, feel free to reach out to us at The Puma Podcast. We just so much appreciate you guys and very much, you know, just love you guys. And I'm so excited to grow with you and learn with you guys. So yeah, we'll see you next time. Fridays at 10:10.
Yep. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Bye-bye.